As we continue our focus on our journeys, plural, back and forth to the cross this year, I want you to start looking at your life, paying close attention to each journey that you make. Now be careful, because Satan has a way, life has a way of getting you off track, off your path. When you're headed for that cross, something is always going to try to step in your way. It's going to try to divert you away from the truth of the cross. See, our whole salvation is based on the cross. Our whole life is based on the cross. And the one that was on that cross and conquered the cross, his name is Jesus. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, I am going to give my all for you. I want you to come and I want you to talk to me. I want you to bring me to be a part of your life. Jesus will not force himself on you. He will not make you listen to him. He will always support every step that you walk towards him. So therefore, if you're stumbling, it's not Jesus. If you're finding there's a pit in front of you, it ain't Jesus that put it there. If you see a mountain ahead, Jesus didn't put it there, but he can sure move it out of the way. So that's the journey that you and I are on. Now, when I was focusing on this particular message, on our becoming journey, I realized right then, as soon as I started, I thought, I'm not going to be able to do this Sunday morning. They'll all get up and leave because by 3 o'clock, they're tired. So what I've done, I've got part one, and I got part two next Sunday. I like those parts. But what I'm going to preach to you is nothing new to you if you are a Christian and you've been in church for very long at all. I'm going to tell you the truth about your salvation. I'm going to tell you about the power that you hold in your hand because of what Jesus did on that cross. We are called to become like Jesus. That's our calling. Now listen to it. Romans 8, 28 and 29. You don't have that on your printout. I'll read it from God's Word. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. Well, what a family. What a family for you and I to be a part of, the family of God. And that we are. When we said yes to Jesus, we became a part of the family of God. Amen. So therefore, as the Lord delivers us from trials and tribulations of life, you and I need to look at our walk, and as we're going through those different those different paths that Jesus will put us on from year to year, day to day, sometime moment to moment. I want you to pay attention. I want you to keep your eyes straight forward, and I want you to look and to realize something. You're not there yet. Jesus wants us to become. God wants us to become like his Son. We are a becoming Christian. We are growing in each step. Do you ever get to studying a part of Scripture and you think, you know, I've got this and I know exactly. This is it, Lord, I got it. And just as soon as you think you have it, the Lord, I know with a smile on his face, puts that other part in your heart. Lord, I had this figured out. You see, That's life. Have you ever noticed that when you think you have life figured out, it turns and smacks you? Have you noticed when you think that you're in control, all of a sudden the revelation comes and you realize that you're completely out of control? You have no control whatsoever. You are totally dependent on Jesus. Well, folks, God planned it that way. See, when I said yes to Jesus, don't mess with me. When you said yes to Jesus, nobody better mess with you. Because when you said yes, you became kinfolk. You're brothers and sisters. We're family. And when we're family, God said, I take care of my family. If you'll read the book called the Bible, you will find that God does a very good job of taking care of his family. How many of those saints that we read about in Scripture have we noticed their background? Brother Randy was talking about King David and his background and all of this, and yet he was counted as a man after God's own heart. Well, you see, I gave Jesus my heart. You gave Jesus your heart when you said yes to him. So you are an individual who is an individual after God's own heart. God created you. He knows what to do with you. But you are becoming. You're not there yet. Come on, Christian. You and I need to realize something. When you get so angry with yourself because you messed up, that's okay. Go, you chew yourself out as all you want to, but get over it. You got me? Now, you're not going to be any good in service to the Lord if you're going to say, oh, woe is me, Lord. I messed up so much. I'm not worthy to help. Well, you unrepentant. Be careful with that, because you're just looking for a way out not to serve the Lord. You're becoming what Christ wants you to be. Now, here's the difference on this. You and I get so angry with ourselves. I mean, we get mad at ourselves. We get so upset because we didn't think that we would ever make that mistake again. And yet, because we do that, we back away from our calling. We back away way too many times, my friends, from the forgiveness that Jesus is offering us. I don't have a right to reject the forgiveness of my Lord, but I don't have a right to continue to wallow in my own waste either. I must, as you must, stand back up, be counted for the Lord, and understand something. God's got you on this earth for a purpose. His purpose. You are his purpose. Well, how do you know that, Brother Larry? You're here, aren't you? You're born, aren't you? You're breathing, aren't you? Then God does not make junk. And God has called us to his service. So how do I become what God has called me to be? Here's the steps I want us to go through. Step number one, simplify your life. Oh, mercy. That means get rid of the garbage. And that is not your husband, ladies. Or husbands, that's not your wives. Pay attention to me. Dump the garbage. Whatever it is that is holding you back. Listen to Hebrews 12:1. Let us strip off anything that slows us down. I'm talking about on our walk with Jesus. If it's pulling you back, if the great lights of the big city are pulling you back, quit looking at the lights. Well, you know, every time I look at those lights, they just dazzle me and I have to go in. And you know, I love the lights flashing and all of this. Any of you ever been to a casino? Don't answer that. I can't believe I ask it. But it's the lights, it's the bells, it's the pulling of that. Is that what you told me? to pulling that handle and stuff like that. You see, that's reality. It is those lights of the world that will pull you into it. And that's what, if it's doing that, stay away from it. Strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up and let us run. You know what I'm supposed to do with sin? Now, this Marine learned this. If it's too bad, if there's too many, I don't care how tough you think you are, turn and run. You got me? There's always another day to come back. But right then, you're looking at it, and the enemy is great. When you see it, Scripture tells us to run from it. Run from sin. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Now, I know my congregation quite well. And I know that the majority of everybody here is so patient. Now, maybe I misspoke. It's hard to be patient, isn't it? It's trying, you know, Faye has always tried to be patient with me. I know it's difficult. Sometimes it's impossible. You know why? We are human beings. I'm now a human being. Brother Randy, that sounds like I'm a human becoming more like Jesus in my being. I am a human being, and therefore, you and I will draw so much on each other, sometimes those closest to us, their patience run out. Be patient, the Lord says, on yourself in this journey. Now, I'm talking about becoming more like Jesus, because Satan will put it in your mind, see, I told you you couldn't do it. See, I told you you couldn't do it. I've witnessed that so many times. A young person gets saved, and they get excited, and they're fired up for the Lord. And then you've got a Christian that's been a Christian longer, comes up and says, oh, it's okay. You'll calm down. It'll wear off pretty soon. You won't be this excited. Well, what a way to really cheer them up, isn't it? Mm-hmm. No, friends, I'm still excited. Amen. I know whom I believe. I know who saved me. And I know I have faults. I know there are failures in my life, but I am not a failure. I have failings, but I'm not a failure. I am given the courage and the boldness to stand back up again. Oh, you all know me, and you know the battles that I've had with the Agent Orange and these cancers, fighting them, and then people get, surprised. Well, I can't believe you're still alive, Larry. I thought you were going to die this last batch. And I said, oh, I'll leave when the Lord says I'm going. Right now, I got a job to do, but so do you. You are becoming more like Jesus. Don't expect yourself to be like him today. That won't happen until the Lord calls you home. And then you can shout for joy, knowing that you have arrived at the doorpost of Jesus Christ, and he opens the door. You're welcomed in, and whoo, you can wipe that sweat and say, I made it home. You see, Jesus is patient with you and me, a lot more patient than you are with yourself. Now, evidently somebody needs this message today, because it's not the way I planned it again, Brother Randy. Thank you. It is a time that you and I must look into our heart and understand, I'm becoming more like Jesus. I'm not like him yet. But keep that becoming simple. Simplify your life. If it's bad for you, quit. Oh, but Brother Larry, you don't know how difficult. Yes, Brother Larry knows. Yes, I do. I'm human, just like you. all of us. I know this is a surprise, my wife, but I have flaws. And I have a lot of them. And I understand that God is going to take those flaws and patiently. Have you ever wondered how many times the Lord, if you were walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus and talking like his disciples did, how many times Jesus would have dropped his head on something you said and said, Father, bless him, he don't know any better. You see, I'm thankful because I'm a family member, Brother Randy. Jesus, he's there to the right side of God the Father interceding for me. He knows my name. He knows your name. He knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He knows you personally, and he is interceding. Father, I know the type of pressure that he's going through because I felt that pressure on my walk, always interceding on my behalf. Number two, don't get impatient or in a hurry. Hebrews 12, verse 1 again. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. That's the second part of verse 1. God has set before us. The race needs to be the race that God has set. Pay attention to that race, not the one that you have decided to run in. You don't choose your calling. God chooses your calling. Many think, you know, this is what I'm going to be. I'm all grown now, and this is what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, these computer geeks become ministers of music. They're singing, got the voice, got the talent, had the calling years ago, and God gave a wake-up call. That's what brings us together, isn't it, Brother Randy? Yeah. And as God touches our life, in your life, he said, be patient. Well, if the Lord tells me to be patient, he means to also be patient with everyone around me. That is not easy, folks, because people don't know how you feel. People may not feel the exact pain that you're feeling. I guarantee you they don't, because each one of us are individuals, and we have that feeling. We have the hurt. We have the pain, and someone can come to you because they've lost someone in death, or they've been in a bad situation, says, I know how you feel. No, you don't. You can't. The best hug you'll ever give someone when they're really hurting is a hug that you're just there and you don't have to open your mouth. You don't have to offer advice. Just be there and be patient. Run with patience the particular race that God has set before you. God put it there. Oh, Lord, it doesn't seem like it's working out. That's not your business. It was never my business. When God called me to preach, I knew he called me to preach. He said, Larry, you preach. It's not my responsibility to get anybody saved. My responsibility is to preach the word. The Holy Spirit convicts the heart. The Holy Spirit touches that soul. And after they come under conviction, the repentance is done through the Holy Spirit of God in the name of Jesus by his grace. Through faith you are saved. There it is. But it's through the word, the preaching of the word. It is God who chose the foolishness of preaching to win the lost. To the world is foolishness. To the world, the whole word of God is foolishness. But to us, it's the power of Almighty God. Amen. To us, it's the strength that you and I need. To us, it is happiness. To us, it is security. It is through the power of Christ and his love, this race that we're in, the running of it, but it's the becoming who Jesus wants us to become. I will become one day, but not until I leave this body. That's why Jesus has so much mercy on us. You don't have mercy on yourself. I don't have much mercy on me. When I know that I messed up, I mean I nailed myself big time. And I wonder, Lord, why do you always bring me back? Why do you always give me that peace? And I understand why now. It's because Jesus already sees me complete. I don't see myself that way. But Jesus sees me in his arms. Oh, I like that picture. Jesus sees me as his brother. My Lord and my Savior loves me that much. Third, spend time focusing on Jesus every day. Here's something you and I have learned over the years. We become like those we spend the most time with. I always got a kick out of it, and then I finally started paying a lot of attention. It says, have you ever noticed how dog owners take on the image of their dog? They look like the dogs they buy. Yeah, you all didn't know that, did you? You'll get a dog, and then they'll say, you know, you get them together. Oh, no, that's Larry Vance. That's a Rottweiler. You take on, the dogs take on the image of the human, or the human takes on the image of the dog. I'm not sure how that works. But think about the people you hang around. Think about how society looks at you. If you're going to go out and hang around drug dealers, unless you're the chaplain, if you're going to hang around the drug dealers, then you become, to that person that's looking at you, a drug dealer. You become a part of those who you hang out with. So what we say is, I want you and me to focus on Jesus every day. We need to be looking more like Jesus every day. How do I do that? Remember those of you that are on a pastor prayer alert? That was 70-some families that are on that with me. And when that finger's crooked, I told you, from sending to you all. But that's fine. I love it. But do you know something? When you and I are praying like this, I've told you before, when I say, I want you to lift this person up to the Lord in prayer, stop right where you are. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. But stop right where you are, or think right at that time and offer up a prayer for that individual. I don't want you going into full-scale prayer meeting. I want you to offer a prayer for that individual. The Lord knows, but he hears from you that name, that individual, asking him, and he does intervene. How many times have we seen it in this church? Those, as they said, had no hope. You're looking at one right here, folks. Those that say they have no hope, they can't make it. Yes, we can. If Jesus says, I don't want you home yet, you got work to do down there, then he makes the difference. But he wants to hear from the family. Hebrews 12, first part of verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. Now, did you hear me on that? Faith. I hear people keep talking about, how do I get more faith? How do I get more faith? For one thing, God's not going to waste anything on us. Use the faith you got. If you don't use what God has given you, why would you think he'd waste any more to give it to you? But faith is a gift from our Lord and Savior. Let me read that again. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from what? Start to finish. My faith that I have was a gift from God from start to finish. through Jesus Christ. It is not how much faith I work up in my emotions. It is deals with the faith that the Holy Spirit has implored within us and he has given us. And God has touched our life with that faith, and it's a faith that continues to give. And the giving of the faith is by Jesus Christ. He said, from the beginning to the end, I'll be the one that'll grow your faith. That's how you can't mess up with faith. You see, when you have faith, the growth of faith is dependent on whether or not you use what you have. If the Lord tells you to step out and it's out of your comfort zone and you don't step out, why is he going to give you more faith? Because you're going to waste it. When he tells you to step out of your comfort zone and you step out, God will give you the faith when the mountain comes. Well, that mountain is something and it's tough, but it's not nearly as awesome and as frightening as Goliath. Any of you ever have a big Goliath standing in your way in life? You know, the mountain, well, that's just a small hill compared to the Goliaths. He has a face, and that face is a face of people and of an enemy and of Satan. Very frightful face the Goliaths are. But Jesus will provide the stones that you need to deal with that Goliath. And number four, when life gets hard, remember the reward. When life gets hard, remember the reward. Problems are a part of the becoming process. Problems are a part of the becoming process. Jesus went through every problem you can think of. He went through every problem that every human being that would ever exist, ever has existed. He took on every problem that has ever existed, and he took it to the cross. Can you imagine that burden? Can we even imagine just taking the burdens, the problems of our individual life? Jesus took them all. Ours and the rest of the world. Now listen to Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3. Jesus did not give up because of the cross. They threatened him with it. Why, teacher, you just come and teach at the temple. Why, we'll listen to you. You get buddy buddies with all the other leaders and we're fine. Why, if you'll become a Baptist, you got it made. No, folks. It's not in a denomination. It's not in other people. It's in one name and one name only, and his name is Jesus. When you say yes to Jesus, that's your salvation. That's your walk. You don't know an explanation to anybody else. You talk to him, Brother Larry. You know, sometimes your preaching bothers me. I'm sorry, did I keep you awake? You know, it is very difficult, and you and I need to understand something. We need to understand that when God calls you, and he called me, he made it a personal touch. You receive that personal touch because he's a personal savior. Jesus did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is now seated, I told you where he was, at the right side of God's throne. Think of what he went through. How he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. The more hatred thrown at you because of your stand for Jesus, the more hatred thrown at you because of your stand for Jesus, the more excited you ought to get when it comes your way. Because you have obviously aggravated Satan. And you've upset him. Because he has the world in his hand. But I got news for you. He may do it. But Jesus has me in his hand. Amen. And I guarantee you, I trust his hand. And the power of Satan has no authority over me because Jesus has me. I have Jesus. He went to the tree. You and I have peace. We have joy. We have forgiveness. We have eternal life. It's a promise. And I keep reminding you, Jesus never made a promise that God didn't keep. When Jesus makes a promise, count on it. He promised me, Larry, when your ministry on earth is over, I'll bring you on home. Family can follow, or you can follow them. But I will bring you home. So once again, we'll be together. One family under the leadership of one Savior. His name is Jesus. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time you allow us to have with one another. Touch our life now, Father, as only you can touch us. Give us peace. Give us the joy. Give us the hope that only you can give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.